We will be reading from Colossians 2, verses 6 through 19. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. May God bless these words.
Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to see all of you. So the title of today's message is called Smack That Fly. Imagine yourself at the lake. It's beautiful outside. The sun is shining. A warm summer breeze is blowing. The water is clear, blue, and so inviting. As you set your feet toward the water, you look across the lake and see the good fisherman, Jesus, casting his victorious rod, offering life-giving food to the multitudes swimming around him. One by one, the good fisherman releases his catch to grow, to mature, and to live in freedom. You smile as you jump in the water to follow him because you remember when you were caught on the line and the good fisherman showed you mercy and released you. As you swim, you see something out of the corner of your eye and you become distracted, maybe even agitated. And before you know it, you're lured by what looks like good food. It looks amazing and delicious. It just keeps landing in front of you, appearing, reappearing. It's taunting you. It's tempting you by its tantalizing appearance and similar presence. Sadly, you're being baited with what fly fishermen call a fly. It's not food. It's not food at all. It's synthetic. And the truth is that many hours have been put into crafting these flies to make them appear real. They have no life-giving or nourishing properties. They're not authentic. Just as you're about to bite, you hear the good fisherman drawing you near to him and away from the hook that could have costed you your freedom. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about freedom in Christ and the gift that he gave us. Today, we're going to be taking a look at how God encourages us using his people to keep it, protect it, and share it. God used Paul in this way to forewarn and encourage first century Christians in Colossae. While in prison, Paul received word that his converts, believers in Christ, were being enticed to follow false philosophies and doctrines and pagan practices in order to receive fullness of life. Paul realized the seriousness of the situation. He understood that these religious teachers and other authorities were not speaking truth. It was counterfeit. They weren't the real deal, no pun intended. As a matter of fact, they were threatening the very freedom that the good fisherman had already provided his children. Please open your Bibles to Colossians 2, 6 through 8 on page 1833. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation and the NIV. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For Christ lives all in the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. In Paul's day, he recognized that there are so many distractions and false teachings that are luring people away from the truth about who Jesus is and about what they had been taught, just like we experience today. There are so many examples throughout history that we can learn from, or as a people, even within the body of Christ, that we had been caught up by false doctrines and philosophies that violate the Christian faith and that have hurt people in the name of God. For example, like the American slave trade, our own confessions of Belhar, or the South African church Apartheid, where they were Christians were segregated by their race and weren't allowed to worship. Extreme religious activists like Jim Jones. But today, we have so much access to information through social media and television. People walk around all day with their earbuds. There's so much noise. Who are we listening to? Who are we following? Is it education? Is it science? Is it the cultural negative narratives that we've been taught? Or is it legalistic teachings? What flies are distracting us? In verse 9, Paul reminds us that in Christ we have been brought to fullness already. It's in him that we've been circumcised with a spiritual circumcision. In him, we've already been made perfect. We're free. And 13 through 18, he's reminding the Colossians, as well as ourselves, about the good news of salvation. This is, I know when I've read this before, I've been told that it's a warning letter from Paul, but I really read it as a message of hope. If you turn with me to verse 13 through 18, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal debts, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it all away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When we accepted Christ as a Savior, he nailed all of our sins to the cross, and we received salvation. It gives us permission to walk a new walk, to walk in union with Christ. We no longer need to be bound by our sin. We no longer have to be weighed down by the works and the rituals in order to be accepted or approved. God loves us so much that he already accepted us. There's nothing left for us to do. The first time I read that, I was thinking, do you really mean all my sins are forgiven? Like all of them? Because I was taught to read the scriptures with a but and an if. But if you do this, well, if you don't do that, then you're forgiven. Christ fulfilled the law, and we are to be walking in union with him. What does that mean? How do we do that? What do we know about Christ? What does he stand for? What does he believe in? He walks in love. He heals the sick. He feeds the poor. He stands up against justice. So we must be imitators of Christ. Love people, love God, serve. Amen, right? In this letter, Paul was speaking of beliefs and practices that violated the Christian walk. I'm not preaching a prosperity sermon. For example, many of you know that I have a very legalistic background. I grew up believing that I had to be perfect. Not through God's grace, but through the works that needed to be performed. I was taught to believe that if I made a mistake, that God, Jehovah, would take my life. And I learned to read the word through a lens of self-judgment and condemnation. But there is no condemnation in Christ. To this day, my biological mom will not speak to me because I am no longer a Jehovah's Witness. And she believes that she will be disobeying God and would not be following Jesus. I feel really sad for her because she never got to experience what it feels like to be free in Christ. We've talked about false teachings and spiritism and legalism, but can we take it a little further? What about the things we've been taught? What about the burdens we're carrying? What about the judgments that we make about ourselves? What do we need to be released from? What can we help release others from? Remember, Jesus said that we do not war against flesh and blood. We war against spirits and principalities. So smack those flies. And remember, because you are free in Christ and you are a child of God. And he loves you just the way you are. Remember the peace you felt when you first accepted Christ? When you felt all of your burdens lifted off of you? When you felt his love and his presence? When you felt free and you wanted to run it around and you wanted to share it with everybody? And it was just, you were able to walk a new walk because it was an automatic response to God's love. Not some rules or regulations that we had to follow, but because he changed us from the inside out. Because now he is rooted in us. He that is in me is stronger than he that is in the world. The hope and the excitement, a start, an eternal future. We have been given a message of hope that we get to share with others. One of love and peace and reconciliation in Jesus, who has all authority. as we walk in union with Christ, let us be bold. Let us be confident. Let us know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are loved by God, that we are forgiven, that we are truly free, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that He is always present and responsive to our needs. Dear Lord, we just thank You so much for the gift that You've given us. There's so much noise going on in this world, and sometimes it's just hard to hear You. Sometimes, even though You've given us the most wonderful gift of the world, which is Your love and Your freedom and Your salvation and Your hope, it's easier. There are other voices that just get louder, Lord. So I just ask, Lord, that You would put Your Holy Spirit on this group, Lord, and that You would just show us who You are. Refresh us. Help us to remember the very first moment that it was like when You came into our heart and we accepted You. Lord, convict our hearts to allow us to share Your message of love, hope, and peace. Lord, help us to examine our hearts and to hear You as You convict our hearts to walk a new walk in relationship with You.